Why, hello there. Welcome back to Even More News, the first, and you guessed it, the only news podcast.
Only, yes, I guessed it. I was going to guess that.
My name's Katie Stoll.
Hi, Katie Stoll. Hi. My name is Cody Johnston.
And joining us again this week is our friend Dave Schilling.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
This is number three. This is lucky number three for me on this
lucky
show. Yeah.
Very lucky for us. Also, this seems like as good of a time as any to announce that Dave is going to start writing for us.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You can't see me. I'm doing a little celebration dance in my chair.
Mm-hmm. It's very good.
We're very excited about it. We've been wanting to have you write for us for a long time now, and everything has just been so chaotic, but we finally got to sit down and have a real meeting and get it started.
Yeah, it's. I would say nothing is chaotic now, and everything is calm and wonderful.
Everything is calm and wonderful.
We finally got to figure it out because everything calmed down. Exactly.
We figured it out, yeah.
Before we dig into some of that, I would be remiss if I didn't stop and say, guys, happy International Men's Day.
Thank you.
I've been walking around with an erection the entire day, and people are like,
good for you.
Why are you walking around? There's a pandemic outside.
Mm.
You're like, well, it's my day.
It's my day, yeah.
I've been doing the same, and people are like, why are you walking around? Go have a rest. It's Men's Day.
It's Men's Day. Take
oh,
a break.
I see. I also want to wish everybody a very happy early Thanksgiving, because we will not be recording next week. Something that I'm thankful for, personally. A little week off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Thanksgiving next week, for better or for worse. We'll talk about that, too, in 1 minute, because first we got to do a quick ad.
Wow, everybody! Thanks to Skillshare for supporting Even More News. Skillshare is an online learning community with thousands of inspiring classes for creative and curious people. Explore new skills, deepen existing passions, and get lost in creativity. Be one of the first 1,000 people to use our link to get a free trial of Skillshare Premium Membership at skillshare.com/news2. That's the numeral 2.
Wow, even more, everybody. Thanks to Raycon Wireless Earbuds for supporting Even More News. Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of any other premium wireless buds on the market. Go to buyraycon.com/evenmore today to unlock exclusive deals up to 20% off your Raycon order. Offer is available for limited time only. Okay, let's talk about all those things. Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I mean, fine is relative, of course. We've all kind of found a new meaning for the word fine, which is that I'm not actively having a nervous breakdown.
Hell yeah.
Quote unquote fine.
And I would say that is accurate for me today. God, what an exhausting experience it is living through this period of transition. It's never been like this. God willing, it's never like this again. But I mean, it's like the election never happened. It's like we're still knee deep in the campaign, even though it's over.
I know.
And people mm-hmm. voted.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of people voted.
Yep.
A lot more people voted for the guy that won.
Yep. Significant.
And too
numbers.
Many people. Too yeah. many people voted for the guy that lost.
Well, yeah, that's another story. Yeah.
It feels bad.
Yeah, it feels bad. It's just there every day. There's like a new like count of like, oh wow, actually this many people voted for Biden and this many people voted for Donald Trump, and it's like I know. If they were able to just say that in the first day, that would have solved so many of our problems. And obviously they can't do that. It's just like,
you think
no, because of course not. And he would do something else, and he will never admit the reality of the situation. It's just really, it's still going on. And I know everybody expected it to still be going on. Like, this is not a surprise. Yeah. Every single person was like, well, yeah, he's going to do this. He's going to say this. And all these sycophants are going to come out of the woodwork. And Giuliani specifically is going to do his bullshit. It's going to be a clown show.
We'll get to that in a little bit.
But like, we all sort of knew it, and it is happening, and it doesn't make it any less tiresome and worrisome.
It's remarkable how disappointing it is to not be surprised by things. It's hard, you know. When I look at what's happening, and it's hard. As before we started recording, I was talking about how hard it is for me right now, this week especially, to be engaged, because so much of it is the same thing and the same stuff. And I've likened this period to purgatory before, but it really is just, I don't know what I get out of this, and except that it's my job, so I have to. But it's very stressful. Do I think that this will work?
No one does. No one, including the people in the Trump administration, think it's going to work.
Right.
No, they don't.
But what is working, what is happening, no matter how the next few months, 2 months play out, a significant portion of this country will believe that Joe Biden cheated and that Donald Trump won.
Yep.
And there is no communicating with them. There's no seeing reason. So what happens at that point? What is the reality of this country at that point? I don't know.
Worse, right? Just generally worse.
Worse, yeah.
Well, except that 2020 is almost over, so it can't be that bad because everything's going to be better when the year is over, right?
We said that last year. I love that sort of magical thinking of like 2019's over, 2020 is going to be great, and then it's fucking the worst.
Yeah.
It's all blue skies from
here. The planet did it. It did the thing, and so now it means it's going to be better. I mean, there's a reason that there's a podcast called Worst Year Ever, and the title doesn't need to change no matter what year it is from now on. Yeah. Because it will get worse in other ways. We'll have the president will be different, but so, you know, all the people that you're talking about, Katie, are they're not going away, and it's harder and harder to reach out to them. And the next administration isn't going to do the necessary things to improve people's lives, and so it's going to get worse. And now they have things like OAN and Newsmax that are just regurgitating like even more of this like wacky propaganda, this dangerous stuff, even more than Fox News ever did. And now they're turning on Fox News.
Yeah.
Fox News is all the same.
Yeah, they're not wacky.
So now they have these other outlets that are going to be even more toxic and detached from reality. I saw a report the other day that Trump's looking to buy it.
Yeah.
Or like Trump allies are looking to buy the Newsmax and stuff.
No, he doesn't have that.
He cannot afford that, exactly.
Somehow.
But man, yeah, it's... Mm.
It seems to me that there is a very clear opposition movement in this country that is opposed to the idea of democracy and voting and having people have the right to vote and all those things that are in the Constitution, right? But they use the language of the Constitution and the country as a means to lend legitimacy to their message.
Yeah.
And so they're creating an alternate reality through these news organizations. Fox News is owned by Rupert Murdoch, and Rupert Murdoch's first concern is making money and maintaining his own personal wealth. The people who are behind Newsmax and One America News Network and The Blaze and all of these places, they don't care about that stuff because they don't have the generational wealth and power of someone who is part of the American landed gentry now, or the global landed gentry. So their concern is not financial. It's not the status quo. It really is institutional revolution.
Yeah.
And as long as Fox News exists to legitimize it and Rupert Murdoch sees a financial benefit to it, it will continue to allow those places to have oxygen. Because if Fox News tomorrow was like, this is crazy, you know, we've gone too far, this is too much, we're Republicans, we're not seditionists, we're not trying to destroy the country, then this would all go away.
Yeah.
It's really on Rupert Murdoch and the Murdoch family now, and they have to decide, are we going to continue to give these people a legitimate news organization or the sort of image of a legitimate news organization to launder their opinions? Or are we going to say, this is actually not good? Because you're never going to get them to admit that as a public good, but they will admit to it if it is a financial negative.
Even if they started to turn that ship around, I don't know if they could.
Not for a lot of people.
But capital is what moves this country.
Well, you know, capitalism.
The buying and selling of products is what makes America work. And that's, you know, works in the sense of the way that it works for the people that it works for.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
If that all of a sudden is imperiled by actual revolution, things change real fast because nobody at Fox News wants a revolution.
Right.
Right.
Say Fox News changes their tune. Whatever. I laugh even at that. But you're right. All of those circumstances come forward. I don't know that there's a big chunk of people that will not follow them in their about shift that will continue down this other path. And there seems to be a lot of different media outlets that will be there and continue to pop up to support what they want to believe.
Sure. Yeah, it's not going away if Fox News is like, right, we're pivoting to, you know, the most generic version of conservative thought possible.
Yeah.
But it will slow it down.
Yes.
Fox News is the accelerant on the fire. And they're the ones that launder this, yeah, insanity. The conspiracy theories are not going away anytime soon. Yeah. All that stuff is just going to stick around for another generation. Like, we have to get used to the fact that there are going to be people who think that Joe Biden and Hugo Chavez stole the election with the help of George Soros and the Chinese.
Unbelievable, that is
the thing,
man.
That we're,
like,
gonna have to, a conversation God, we're going to have the for the
Hugo
rest
Chavez
of our lives.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. 70% of Republicans think that he stole it. So this, the party itself is.
And then what happens in the next election?
Crumbling.
Too. Yeah. So
what happens in the midterms in 2022?
Yeah. Yes, we'll see it. I was going to start by talking about some COVID updates, but you know what? Let's keep this trajectory going. Earlier this week when I was deciding what to discuss this week, I emailed you what you wanted to talk about, if there's anything you're fired up about, and you immediately replied with Rudy Giuliani. That's all I ever want to talk about now. This seems like a good time to talk about him in conjunction with this conversation. Gosh, and this was even before today's press conference.
I have my finger on the pulse of America's insanity.
The sweaty pulse of Rudy Giuliani.
Brown stuff slipping down his face, quoting My Cousin Vinny.
He quoted My Cousin Vinny?
He sure did.
Yeah.
He sure did. In making a point, the people observing the polls were too far away to see what was happening. And he did his best Joe Pesci up there and quoted his favorite movie, My Cousin Vinny. Anyway, Dave, you probably have more specific thoughts. I'd love to hear them.
I mean, my thoughts are that one, celebrity melts your brain.
Yeah.
It just does. Yep. Like, I mean, I think everybody who gets into any sort of entertainment medium, ourselves included, wants to be famous on some level. But you look at what happens to certain famous people and it's just like, wow, you don't have any grasp on reality, or you are so desperate to maintain your place in society that you will say or do anything. And Rudy Giuliani is at the point in his life where cognitive decline, I'm sure, is playing a part, but also just an intense desire to be relevant and to feel powerful. And Donald Trump offers him that thing. He just, all he asked for is one thing, and that's complete loyalty.
Yeah. It's pretty sad when you put it like that.
And at some point,
too,
you just start believing it, right?
Yeah.
When you're in too deep. Yeah. This is also true of, I think, you know, a lot of, you know, production companies or movie studios or large corporations or anything that's run on a cult of personality. Doesn't matter what it is. Mm-hmm. What you have to do to succeed there is to flatter the leader in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, the way to flatter Donald Trump is clearly to engage him in conspiracy theories that have no basis in reality. That's what Rudy Giuliani and Steve Bannon and all of these people who are, you know, flirting with authoritarianism, or not flirting with it, just outright grabbing it by the pussy.
Yeah.
They are, you know, trafficking in this need to flatter him.
Yeah.
And the more they flatter him, the closer they get to what they feel like is their end goal, which is being next to the powerful person.
Right.
They no longer want their own power because they clearly have seen the limits of their own charisma, their own ability, yeah, to inspire human beings, their own intellect, yeah, in, yeah, the case of Rudy Giuliani. Yeah. They're like, okay, I'm a worthless piece of shit. In their, yeah, head. I mean, you know what I think about Rudy Giuliani, but he also thinks,
yeah, he knows,
the same,
he knows,
thing about himself.
He knows. Yeah,
he knows. He knows.
I did have a thought today, seeing all those pictures of him, like, oh, that had to be so embarrassing.
I mean,
get home and see that.
He's beyond being embarrassed.
He is
like the gambler on his last $500 bet, just praying that it hits,
yeah,
at this point.
Yeah, that was desperation dripping from his face. Like, he,
yeah,
knows,
you can, yeah, see it.
If I don't nail this, he's gonna fire, mm-hmm, me.
If I don't, yeah, say this ridiculous, it's like some of the things that come out of his mouth are just like on its face obviously nonsense, and he knows it. Some of the stuff he said at the Four Seasons Total Landscaping, just like, yeah, it's embarrassing and dangerous. Yeah.
Telling state legislatures to change election results is treason.
Yeah, yeah,
it is. I think this conversation kind of presupposes that a lot of people know what's been happening, and I'm sure you do, but at this point,
sadly, we all know everything. We all know the time, constantly.
Rudy Giuliani is now the only lawyer, I believe.
There's another one.
There's another one.
Who is that woman who?
Oh, right.
She's the one who said the legislature should overturn these election results on Lou Dobbs today.
So now, that's kind of what I'm getting to. Is this? That's all that they're trying to do. They do not expect that any of these lawsuits will work. They do not expect this to be effective. They are making a big scene. They're making people believe their lies. And they're hoping that the electors will not vote for Joe Biden.
And they got those people in Michigan to sign that ridiculous affidavit saying we recant our votes. You can't do that.
He called them. The president called them. Yeah. That's so fucked up.
GOP leaders of the state of Michigan to come to the White House.
Yeah.
To do what? Hmm?
It's really infuriating. I'm furious about it. And we have to laugh about it or find jokes, but it's horrifying.
It's fascinating to me that this is really an impossible situation for the Democratic Party, because they've made it an impossible situation because they are so unwilling to go at a strategy of punishing these people, right? They're just like, we're not gonna use the T word. We're not gonna try to impeach him again. We're not gonna do any of that stuff. We're just gonna let the system handle itself. Well, every day that you just do that, you legitimize the stuff that they are doing.
Mm-hmm.
If this was the 1900s, they already would have arrested these people.
Yep.
Because there was no media to tell people, don't do that.
Civility.
That's not going to play well in the purple states. You got to be nice. We're all one America. And that's the kind of the rhetoric that comes from the Democratic Party now, is we got to stick together. We got to stick together. It's like,
it's over. Why? It's over.
Yeah.
We fought a civil war to force people to stop doing the thing that we told them not to do. Illegal activity has a consequence, and that consequence is you going to jail. But when you don't say this is illegal, then people will keep doing it.
Yep.
Yeah. Pelosi back in the day said the exact same thing about George W. Bush.
Pelosi, our recently reelected speaker.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations. And thoughts and prayers to the party.
All of us.
fingers crossed. Schumer is still there, too. We got to keep the team going. But yeah, it's if you don't show those consequences, then, well, what's going to happen when the next when the party continues and when they get another president in? Okay, well, they're going to go even further. Well, that happened, and you're not going to punish these people. So what's going to... Exactly. They learned it works, and they can get away with it. So why bother? Mitch McConnell told Barack Obama's face so many times that he just doesn't give a fuck. He's going to do whatever he wants. He doesn't care about governing. It would be nice to have known that and to have fought back against that and let people know that that's just what we're dealing with. But
there's one solution, and that's winning both of those seats in Georgia.
I know.
Listen, this is the,
I know. Yeah.
Even with Biden as president, we're going to deal with 4 years of obstruction, number one. Number two, we're going to deal with 4 years of Donald Trump talking all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not going
to
shut up.
And he's going to continue to build up his base and agitate them and get them to a point where he's creating problems that Joe Biden then has to deal with.
Yeah.
That seems like the new strategy is we're gonna obstruct the process of the election, and then on top of that, we are going to make problems that he's going to have to solve, and we won't let him solve them. Because that worked with Obama.
Yep. Oh, very effective strategy.
Sure, he won re-election, but Trump was exactly who came after.
Exactly.
Him. Real quick, since you mentioned Georgia, quick Georgia runoff info, just putting out there. If you didn't vote in the November 3rd election, you can still vote in the January 5th runoff if you're in Georgia. You just need to make sure that you're registered to vote. The deadline to register to vote is December 7th. Early voting starts December 14th. You can already request an absentee ballot. And election day again, January 5th.
Yeah, let's get that voter fraud
if
going,
you are
folks.
Taking, Come on. If you're taking a break,
let's
Karen,
steal that seat.
It's time. Let's steal it. I am curious to see how outside pressure affects this race and funding. I mean, look, for Mitch McConnell. Amy McGrath was flooded with donations and support, but it was from people who are out of state. And that did not track with people that are in state. In fact, I think that it probably builds up a lot of animosity in these places when everybody from all the other parts of the country that don't know anything about Georgia or whatever, you know, see this happening. And so I want everybody to donate and pay attention and do what they can. I'm also curious if that's something that will backfire.
Right. Well, I think also, I mean, the Kentucky thing is also a case of, like, maybe the candidate shouldn't say, like, I love Republicans, actually. They're my best friends.
To be fair, yeah, she was not a good candidate, so there's also that. But I'm just curious.
It's a numbers game. That's all it is. This is a numbers game because it's about voting and, like, how many votes you get on one side or the other. I mean, Georgia, you know, they made it difficult to vote, but people still did it. And they had an on-the-ground local organization led by Stacey Abrams to get people out to vote. And that machine is still working.
Yes.
It's not like they went away. That is what turned Georgia for Biden. It's not people donating from California.
No, it's not.
It is people in these states doing stuff and making sure people vote. Because it's not about convincing someone else.
Yeah.
There's no convincing anymore. People are going to be on one side or the other, and most people are not going to switch sides.
You're completely right.
It's about getting the people who otherwise wouldn't be able to vote to be able to vote. And Georgia can do that.
Yes, they've done it, and it's more important now, and they think they know that, and I think that, yeah.
I think that the convincing that needs to happen, you're right. People aren't deciding which side they support. There is a percentage of people that hate both options and do not think voting either way matters. Mm. So those people, I think, are worth explaining to the situation. But 100%, the efforts at making it easier, making it possible for people to get out is the most important step that needs to happen. Mm-hmm. And is happening. I have a lot of faith in Stacey Abrams.
Yeah. I'm just very sour on the idea of convincing Republicans to vote for Democrats.
That's not happening. That's
unfortunately
not happening.
It is no longer happening. And mm-hmm. that is because they have done an excellent job of creating an alternate reality.
Totally.
With an alternate narrative, you can tell people anything and they'll believe it.
Yeah. They've dug in their heels and that's just how it is.
And they
pointless.
Say the same thing about us, mm-hmm. that we're crazy.
Yeah.
It's just a dysfunctional relationship where people are saying, you're not mad, I'm mad. Mm-hmm. Like,
everybody's mad. It's fine.
Speaking of Georgia also and sycophants committing treason.
Ooh.
Feels like an appropriate time to mention Lindsey Graham mm-hmm. for some reason.
Our buddy. Our next VP's buddy, Lindsey Graham.
Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina.
Yeah.
For some reason called the Georgia Secretary of State and tried to get him to toss out mail-in ballots.
These people are unbelievable.
They are so bad at committing crimes.
Really,
it's
truly.
Amazing how brazen they are and how bad they are at it. Because and also how there's no consequences for either of those things.
Right. They assume that everybody functions in the same reality they do.
Yep.
And so they look at the Secretary of State of Georgia and say, well, he's a Republican. So if I just tell him, you know what, there's going to be a nice little payday for you down the road and probably a really good job with Trump in the second term if you do these things for us. And the guy's like, what? No.
Also, I believe he's not a Trump-supporting Republican.
Well, right. He also doesn't want to go to prison.
Yeah, that is how you go to prison. That you are asking someone to commit a crime. How impossible.
I mean, Lindsey Graham should go to prison. That won't happen.
That won't happen, but he absolutely should.
He should resign. That won't happen either.
It's fascinating and frustrating because it is this sort of like... It's the same thing with the paid protester narrative. Where it's like, well, yeah... You think it requires being paid to care about something that much. You think mm-hmm. that people are being paid. But, it's just like living in another reality, living with a different set of rules and a different set of values and principles that they can just sort of toss away.
It's so selfish. And that is really, I'm sure I've said this on this show before. The only thing that separates us is some of us care about other people and some of us care about only ourselves.
Yeah. Personal responsibility. Personal responsibility is what you call it. It's called bootstraps, Dave. Come on.
Right. It's called being a prick.
Yeah.
I'm personally responsible for shepherding us into this ad break right now.
You did a great job. You nailed it.
Good luck.
Did you like that? I liked it.
Thank you.
We're going to be right back for even more news.
Hey, you know that new ad you've been looking for? Well, listen to this. Skillshare, an online learning community with thousands of classes for creative and curious people, can help you find your voice, deepen existing passions, and explore new skills with classes designed for real life or your Imaginarium, aka your brain box. Most of Skillshare's classes are under 60 minutes with short lessons to fit your schedule and skill level, from newborn baby to tired adult. Members get unlimited access to thousands of classes with hands-on projects and feedback from a community of millions. Creator of the universe, Snoofle Doofle, was himself created from a Skillshare class on an After Effects plugin called Duik. This was possible via science that is not available on Skillshare. But what is mastering illustration, sketching, inking, and color essentials with Josiah Brooks. So, you know, maybe I'll draw up that science for you sometime. They've got classes on marketing, filmmaking, so many options and opportunities at just $10 a month. Explore your creativity at Skillshare.com/news2, that's the numeral 2, and the first 1,000 people to use our link will get a free trial of Skillshare Premium Membership. Receive free access to thousands of classes for a limited time. Be one of the first 1,000 to sign up at Skillshare.com/news2. That's the numeral 2.
Hello, holiday byproducts. Speaking of hello, holiday byproducts, it's never too early to start gift shopping for the holidays. And today you can save big on a gift that they'll use every day. Raycon wireless earbuds. That's right, we teamed up with Raycon so you can go to buyraycon.com/evenmore today to unlock exclusive deals up to 20% off your Raycon order. Seriously though, I use mine all the time around the house, when I'm cleaning, when I'm on walks, when I'm doing my like home workouts, they stay in. I'm jumping, they're not budging. I don't know what to say. They're comfortable, they sound great. They don't have those weird stems dangling out of them so you can announce to everybody just how much you're wearing earbuds. Snoop Dogg wears them. Melissa Etheridge wears them. Cody wears them. All equally popular and successful celebrities who like Raycon earbuds, which have a 45-day return policy. But you won't want to return them because they've got great audio quality, easy Bluetooth pairing, hours of battery life, a neat little pod for charging them, and half the price of other premium brands. Go to buyraycon.com/evenmore today to unlock exclusive deals up to 20% off your Raycon order. But hurry! This offer is available for a limited time only and you don't want to miss it! That's buyraycon.com/evenmore to unlock up to 20% off your Raycons. buyraycon.com/evenmore. And we are back as promised for even more news. Oof, I guess we should talk about coronavirus. It's here. It's not gone.
It's not gone yet?
It's not gone. It's getting worse.
Is it worse?
It is getting worse.
According to brain genius Elon Musk, there'd be no cases after March.
He was wrong.
Again.
Side note, I saw a billboard the other day that said,
"Oh no,
global warming is good." Like, the fuck is this? And then I Googled it, and apparently it's a promotional thing for Grimes' album. Grimes is Elon Musk's baby mama. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. It made me mad. She says it's evocative art.
That is what we need right now, is more evocative art.
Read the room, that family.
God, read the nation. Jesus, God.
Right. Anyway, coronavirus. We mentioned that it is Thanksgiving next week. And with Thanksgiving and with the holidays comes this big conversation of whether or not you are going to see your family. And that's really, it's a hard one. It's a hard conversation for me. I'm not seeing them for Thanksgiving. I would really like to see them for Christmas. I guess I'm kind of TBD, but it's not looking good. It's not looking good right now to travel anywhere, to do anything, to see anybody. It's definitely depressing after the year that we've had.
Yeah.
But like we mentioned, coronavirus is still here. And in fact, it's worse. It's going to be a very difficult winter. If you haven't heard that, I'm sorry to break the
news. On purpose, though, to cancel Thanksgiving, right? The libs have hated Thanksgiving forever. And so they created the virus to, well, A, get the microchip in everybody, but also to cancel Thanksgiving. So we did it.
Currently, I'm getting back to the stats here. The U.S. leads the world with 11.3 million confirmed coronavirus cases and more than 250,000 fatalities. Hospitals throughout the country are reaching a very dangerous tipping point on hospitalizations. It's important to say that, yes, treatment has improved in how we are treating the virus, and the mortality rate has gone down, and all of that's great. But part of it was that our healthcare system wasn't overtaxed. And we're back to that point that we were at the beginning, worse in some places. And as the hospital rates increase, so will the mortality rates. Also, just keep reminding yourself and people you know that the death rate, the deaths lag behind the increase in hospitalizations. So the next few weeks are going to be awful, just awful.
Yeah.
And it's surreal because it doesn't feel... I mean, people care, but it's not the same. It's just people, I know pandemic fatigue is real, but I think that for a lot of us, I know at least for me, I'll speak for myself, I haven't seen it around me. I've heard of acquaintances maybe having a very mild case, but the warnings that we got at the beginning of, oh, you will experience this firsthand in your life, people you care about will be struggling with this, hasn't quite reached me. But I believe that that's because this is the point where that happens. My nephew is 19 and lives in a house with a bunch of other 19-year-olds, and someone tested positive, and now we're waiting to find back if my nephew did as well. But I'm just saying that this is how it starts, and we're going to start seeing it during these winter months when we're back inside. We do have cause for hope with all this vaccine news. Side note, how about Dolly Parton helping fund this Moderna vaccine? Mm. Very into that. Very into Dolly saving all of us.
I think thank you again to Dolly Parton for your many gifts to the world, including the song Jolene.
Oh my God.
And Bessel Whorehouse in Texas. Great movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I did see that. My feeling about all of this is there will be a vaccine. At this point, we know there's going to be a vaccine. How long it will be effective, we don't know, because we literally came up with it 6 months ago.
Yeah.
I mean, just saying it out loud makes me laugh. I don't, it's not funny, but it's just like, six months ago, we invented this thing we're going to put in everybody's body. And
mind-blowing.
We think it's going to work.
It worked for a couple of months.
We don't know if it's going to be effective forever. It's three shots for some of them. I think it might be multiple shots for all of them.
Also, like, the rollout, too. Like, who's going to get it first?
How is that going to work?
And the people
who's paying for this?
Yeah. And the people who don't really need it are going to get it first. The people who do are not going to.
Yes. So it is what it is on that front. That is, it's going to happen. It's going to be tortured, but it's going to happen. So we will be past it at some point in the future. Problem is right now. Mm-hmm. The problem is, what do we do with all the people that are sick? What do we do with all the people that die? How do we prevent people from dying at a rate that is so catastrophic that it shuts down our healthcare system?
Yeah.
What happens if you get sick with something else and you got to go to the doc? Here's an example for you. My good friend, his wife, went to the hospital to have her appendix out. I think it was a month ago. It was around the time of the World Series. So it was like October. She got COVID from going to the hospital. God. We assume it's got to be the hospital.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he got it. And he's much sicker than she is. So it's like, okay, you got to go to the doctor.
What?
And it's you got to get your appendix out. You got to get, you know, some sort of elective surgery or some necessary surgery. You're running the risk of getting COVID. Mm-hmm. Or there's no room for you at the hospital.
Right.
Because everybody's got COVID. There's no good outcome for this right now. It's not like the vaccine is going to get dropped from the sky tomorrow and we're going to be past this. This is going to go on until February, March.
I believe longer, but this worst spell will be in winter months for during that time. Maybe it'll start getting rolled out in the spring, but most of us won't have access.
Yeah, I think things will start to get better appreciably in the summer.
I agree. I'm living for that. It's the right now that I'm concerned about. So, okay, we're seeing a slew of new quote-unquote crackdowns. That's how the media is calling it. But it's like some places saying, okay, we can't have weddings with 30 people. Guys, you got to wear your masks inside now. Some places that have not had mask mandates are inching towards it. Other places still aren't. Los Angeles, we just before started to record, I guess we now have they're calling it a stay-at-home order.
Nighttime. It's not. Bedtime.
It's a curfew. So from like 10 to 8 a.m., all non-essential business must stop.
Yeah.
Dude, most non-essential business is done by 5 or 6. You're not curtailing anything. You're saying get home to bed, which most of us are doing anyway because bars aren't open. You know, like.
I think the thought process is the more people drink, the less likely they are to take the necessary precautions to prevent transmission.
Sure. So no being out at restaurants and stuff.
Also, like, people can drink before then. And like, if you know that you're not allowed to drink out past a certain time, you're probably gonna drink earlier.
Yeah.
Like the activity that they're trying to stop is not going to stop because of like a few hours earlier.
This reminds me of going to like a sporting event, and you know what? They're gonna stop serving beer in the seventh inning of the Dodger game.
Right.
So
right.
I better get 4 of them now.
Yeah. Like, there's a reason they say last call for a reason. They know.
Yeah.
Like,
everybody's going to be like, oh, I need 5 of these, and I need 6 of these, and I need 7 of these, and we're all going to do shots.
Yeah. Yeah,
and now we have everybody driving home drunk because we can't take lifts because of coronavirus. I wanted to talk about how we think Biden will approach this differently, though. And it's interesting because I was already thinking about this. Does he issue some sort of nationwide stay at home crackdown order, which I understand is hard to do because Vermont doesn't have hardly any cases, for example? How do you issue an order like that?
Well, and a lot of like this stuff, one of the big problems is that, like, if you tell people to stay home, you need to pay them money. You need to make sure that they can stay at home and eat,
which is what we need.
The Democrats are very good at considering the first part and like rejecting the second part.
Well, I didn't have to wonder very long because today, just before we started recording, he said, I am not going to shut down the economy, period. I'm going to shut down the virus. That's what I'm going to shut down. I'll say it again. No national shutdown. There's no circumstance which I can see that would require a total national shutdown.
That is Trump shit. He's saying it nicer with a nicer voice, but like, I'm going to shut down the virus. What does that mean? That's Trump shit right there. That's nonsense.
Look, I'm gonna tell you right now, he can't do it, and here's why. The minute he does it, he enacts an executive order saying you got to do this. The states' rights people and the Republican Party comes back and says, "How dare you?" The militias take up arms. There's fighting and stuff. There's like terrible things that happen. We do not have a national unity environment that will allow him to do those things. Donald Trump got away with it because the Democratic Party and the progressives in this country didn't do anything. It's like, okay, well, you know, he did that, but we're going to vote
right
in November, mm-hmm. and we're going to kick him out.
I had this conversation with my boyfriend the other day. He's like, Biden will, he wanted to believe, like, we got to do something. Biden will do something. And that's when I started thinking about it. It was like, yeah, I mean, that's what we need. We need some sort of a national crackdown of things. We needed that months and months and months and months ago.
We needed that in March.
We need to all be on the same page to do anything.
We'd be on the same page. Exactly. But at this point, with the stakes so high, with the election results being questioned, and that's not going to stop, with states, you know, Republicans versus Democrats, this whole, everything about it, it would be literally, I don't see how it happens. Unless there was some sort of, yes, we're going to shut things down and we're going to give everybody this compensation, but it won't happen. No.
They're going to politicize even that. You could give everybody $1 million and they'd be like, oh, the creeping arm of socialism is going to give you $1 million. Oh boy, where are they going to get that money? Like, you're already paying in taxes. That's where they get the money from. We could be spending that on our military. So that's it. It doesn't matter how much money it is.
Yeah.
It is the fact that they are so good at riling up these people and they are so willing to take orders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fact that they are willing to take orders means that you can give them orders.
They want orders.
When you give them orders, yes, they want them. They demand it. It's the perfect stew for authoritarianism is when people want to be told what to do. So you are dealing with a political bloc that is going to fight you on everything that you try to do, which means that the things that are the most common sense and logical are the ones that they're going to be able to fight the easiest, because they're those things are the ones that they're already against anyway. They're already against the idea of a mask mandate. They're already against the idea of a national stay-at-home order. So just turning that on is going to kill the thing dead. It's not going to happen. States will rebel. You know, secretaries of state in states will say this is nonsense. We're not going to do this. Governors will say it's nonsense. Legislatures will fight against it. Mayors will fight against it. Sheriffs will fight against it. Just don't even try. And I think that it's pragmatic and it's cynical to say that, but this is a pragmatic and cynical time. This is a time where we are on the precipice.
Honest.
Yes, and honest. We have to look at things honestly now. We're on the precipice of a very difficult and scary time. If we're not already there,
we're there.
I don't know if this is the. I don't know if this is the worst it's going to be, or if it's going to get worse. Is what I'm
it
saying.
It will.
So if we are honest about that, then we have to say some things are off the table.
I agree. It's just very disheartening to say, put it mildly, at this point. Staring down the next many months, wondering how this change will even, this change of leadership will even change things. Like, so many people are like, well, at least he's coming in. I just think that there's that he's going to be able to do a better job with this. And I think that if he'd been there at the beginning, that's true. But at this point, it's 100% damage control.
In a sense, it's like being held hostage by another reality.
But there are ways that we can improve things for people. Finally getting out, getting money to people. Student debt. I think that that's a good time to transition to talking about this conversation because it plays into it as well. You guys might have seen that tweet from Carol Roth circulating on Twitter, saying all the ways that students could cut down on debt, you know, by like having a roommate or living with your parents, eating out less. That tired argument that people get trot out every so often. And what sparked that, earlier this week, Elizabeth Warren and also Chuck Schumer, unlikely allies, maybe not unlikely, called on Joe Biden to cancel student debt. This is from The Hill. Speaking at the New York Times Dealbook Summit, Warren said that student debt cancellation was part of Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris's election mandate. For me, it is a mandate to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to do the things we can do to cancel student loan debts for tens of millions of Americans, the single biggest stimulus we could add to the economy. Senate Minority Leader Charles Schumer, Chuck, said this week that he and Warren have a proposal to cancel $50,000 of debt through executive action. We believe that Joe Biden can do that with a pen as opposed to the legislation, he said, but Biden has yet to endorse that approach. On Monday, he said he favored canceling $10,000 of debt, but cited legislation from House Democrats as the vehicle for advancing the policy. So basically, he's saying it's not going to happen.
So what I'm saying is it's not going to happen.
A lot of asterisks in that $10,000 too.
It's very frustrating because there's a lot of research and data that shows how this approach, this would be so good, beneficial for people, for the economy, for markets, all these things, but it doesn't matter.
You know? In place of a stimulus, it would work for a lot of people who are eager to go out and spend money.
Yeah.
Disposable income on stuff. That is the one area of opportunity that he has, which is the economy. He is not going to win on coronavirus because it is... unfortunately, the weapon they've been using for the last 8 months to divide us even further, politicizing a virus, you know, saying it's from China and that it was engineered by Bill Gates to control us, all that
mm-hmm,
stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So just forget about it. Like, forget about it. Mitigate it as much as you can.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully he can get some emergency aid to the states. I mean, that's an opportunity he's going to have because he has control over that stuff. You know, he can sign executive orders and do things, you know, of that nature that Trump was never willing to do. But he's not going to force states to have masks. He's not. So the place where he can make a difference is in the economy and trying to get people working and trying to stimulate the engines of capitalism. And that's why when they announced that Biden was going to be president or that he won, the stock market shot through the roof because people want someone who is in control, who's going to work with them, the people who control the capital, that is. They want someone who they can actually deal with. And Donald Trump is such a wild card and doesn't understand how the stock market works that he's just like, I got to do this, I got to do that, and that's going to help the stock market. it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So that's where he can make a difference. And if he doesn't, if he punts on that, then there's nothing he can do. It's just going to be a wasted 4 years.
And that's what's so frustrating, because it seems like a pretty easy win in some ways, you know?
A lot of easy wins available for him.
Yep.
So some of the criticisms against this, people say that debt cancellation would tempt people to take out more student loans and be irresponsible, or a lot of people with college degrees usually earn more money and will be likely, I know, which ignores the fact that a lot of people have smaller debt loads that, you know, they're not necessarily going to the craziest high paying jobs, but it's still an insurmountable amount of debt to them. But all of that is to say that actually tying debt cancellation to COVID relief in this manner would actually relieve some of the criticisms about this action. Mm. So it's a possible thing that he
can
do.
He can sell this to the American people. He cannot sell a mask mandate. No. He cannot sell anything that they deem draconian.
Right. But yeah, it's easy to sell good things that help people if you actually want to do it. He could sell Medicare for All to people if he really wanted to.
He doesn't want to do that.
Right.
I should say that his $10,000 thing,
it's a joke. That's a
Look,
joke.
That would be sig- It is a joke. It would be significant to some people.
Sure.
For sure. But it is a joke.
It's also like, what is it? It's like $10,000 for like very specific loans. And like, there's so many like different like boxes you have to check. It's not just like a blanket thing.
Who is the person who's like, oh, they paid off my student loans, now I'll get more? You're not in school anymore. You can't get a student loan if you're not in school.
Right.
$10,000 in private non-federal student loans for economically distressed borrowers. So I guess that's, we'll get the details of that.
Yeah. I mean, it says that those who attended public colleges or historically black private ones would qualify for additional write-downs if their families earn less than $125,000 a year. Okay. How about everybody else too, like that are suffering during this? I mean, sure, yes, that, but way more.
That's gonna have to be a part of a much larger stimulus package. It can't just be like, well, we did this and now we're done.
Absolutely. Bringing it back to those Senate races, unbelievably important. You know, everyone calls this 2020 election, you know, the election of our lifetime. I posit that this runoff is. It's not. I mean, Donald Trump having another 4 years would have been catastrophic. But yes, whether or not we'll be able to do anything at all hinges on.
Yeah, giving the ability to do something and also depriving the Democratic Party of having a built-in excuse to not try to do anything.
Yeah.
Which is what they really would love to have.
There is still, you know, it's great we got him out of office now, but he can very easily run again in 4 years and win. Now he might not be alive.
Hey,
let's be, you know, let's Joe Biden and Donald Trump could both be dead.
Yeah, that's the, yeah,
they are old people.
It's lost in the shuffle how it is not, yeah, super likely that we, you know.
I think about it.
But this goes back to the biggest point that I want to make today is the problem with our society is everyone in control of it is way too old to be in control of anything.
Yes. Yes.
My mother got really upset when I said that because my mother's in her 70s, mid-70s. I was like, all these people are too goddamn old, Mom. And she's like, well, I'm that age. What, you saying I can't go to work anymore? First of all, you're black, so black don't crack. That's number one. Number two, Mom, you're not one of the leaders of the free world.
Right.
What your job as a social worker is very important. But guess what, Mom? You're not the president. You're not the Speaker of the House. You're not the Senate Majority Leader. Like, these are jobs that require fresh thinking, and they require people who have
an immense amount of energy.
Yes, and you know, an understanding of what the world is like outside of Washington D.C.
and what it's going to be like, and what it, yeah, there's so many perspectives that,
and the ability to think about beyond the next 5 or 10 years, which is the lifespan of a lot of the people that are in office.
It's our leadership is people that are all sundowning all at the same time. Dianne Feinstein, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Mitch McConnell, Joe Biden, Donald Trump. Like, these people are all so oppressively old. And it's great that medical technology keeps our elderly alive.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't want anyone, I don't like death as a concept. It's a bummer.
Yeah.
But
retire, enjoy yourself.
Like, there was a point in time when people this age would retire.
They wanted
they'd
to.
They'd go away. They'd want time off.
It sounds nice, right? Like,
But they look at the clock and they see, oh, I got 10 more years left. I can live into my 90s.
Yeah, I could stay here.
That's what Ruth Bader Ginsburg said. Oh, I'm going to live much longer than this. Why would I retire in 2013?
Yeah, why?
I'm gonna keep working. And you know what? Stop working, old people. Stop working. You don't have to work forever.
That's the idea.
People my age need jobs.
Yeah, we need jobs, and we're happy to take care of you.
Yeah, but like, we don't have that society anymore where
exactly.
we take care of old people.
Yeah.
We don't do that. We don't care about old people.
Yeah.
We malign them. We shut them, shuffle them off. Into
we take
corners.
Away their jobs.
Well, no. Maybe not that.
We try to,
but we don't give them a meaningful final 10 years of
life. Dignity and
Look at this coronavirus. Nursing homes.
Every piece of rhetoric when this first happened was, well, it only affects old people and they're going to be dead soon anyway.
Yep.
Yep.
When you disregard that part of someone's life. Of course they don't want to acknowledge their impending mortality. If Nancy Pelosi quit tomorrow, what would she do all day? She'd be so bored.
Oh, to be bored.
You're spot on about so much. I think that a lot of people in power, they just want to get as much done while they're there so their name lives on.
It's all ego. Yeah, it's all ego and legacy shit.
It's ego.
And it's not about doing a
this
good
is
thing
our life,
for people.
And it's,
it is not about giving back. Yep. It is not about creating a better society. It is just about what building can I put my fucking name on? And that doesn't help me at all. That doesn't help my child. That doesn't help you or anybody else listening to this. No one cares how many buildings Nancy Pelosi puts her name on. How many memes are made about her. But just like everybody else, she doesn't want to be old. And she doesn't want to step aside and say, oh, I'm going to be dead soon. So working and gratifying your ego is a thing that shuts all the demons out.
Congratulations on your re-election, Mrs. Speaker. This seems like a good place to wrap things up. Dave, can you tell people where they can find you online?
Yes, of course. You can find me online at Dave_Schilling on Twitter. I am not on Parler yet.
It's time. Yeah.
It's going to happen soon enough because I don't want my freedom of speech infringed upon.
Hell no.
And I just wrote a thing that came out for The New Yorker today, a humor piece about Panera Bread. Their exciting new rebrand.
I saw your post and I liked it because it's very funny and this is a good reminder for me to go read the whole thing. Guys, check out Dave. He is wonderful. And again, we're so excited to have him running with us and we're really looking forward to all that's going to come from that.
Mm-hmm.
Have a good Thanksgiving. Stay the fuck away from your family if possible, please. You have to see people. Keep it outside. That's what jackets are for. And take a scarf and wrap it all the way around your face. So you're not eating food, but maybe you look at somebody from a distance. That's cool. And also remember that we love you very much.
Much.
Bye.
Bye.